Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Today on the show, music to get your body moving. Escort is the name of a New York disco crew that is testing the boundaries of a musical style that swept the globe in the 70s. Their performance here in our studio will surely get you boogieing. And a sports psychologist explains why music makes us move and motivates us to perform at a higher level, whether it's on the running track or the playing field or at the gym. And he'll tell us the ideal tempo for the songs in your playlist. And speaking of playlists, all this week we've been asking you to help us compile the ultimate running mix for our producers, Joel Meyer and Katie Bishop, who are both running in the New York City Half Marathon on Sunday. And Joel and Katie are here to share the results. Katie, lots of results.
Lots of results. Oh, yeah. We've been putting together a playlist. It is currently more than 6 hours long. So if
you need more than 6 hours of running mix, I'm sorry, we can't help you.
Yeah.
It is only a half marathon.
Yeah. If we don't finish the half marathon in six hours.
Only 13.1 miles.
Yeah, I think they turn it off after 3 hours. But there are a lot of really good suggestions.
What did you do? You made a Spotify playlist?
Spotify playlist. It's up at soundcheck.org. You can get it. You can listen to it while you run if you want.
Okay. So what were some of, let me ask you each for a favorite suggestion. Katie?
So Amy from Brooklyn writes, if Jerry O'Sullivan playing the chorus reel / Ashmolean House doesn't get you kicking up your heels, I will eat my hat.
Well, that certainly has the right tempo to
sure
it.
Sure does. And the race is the day before St. Paddy's Day.
Your feet may be going in like six different directions at once, but
someday I'll tell you the story about how I used to take Irish dancing.
I feel like I should be running through a meadow and not through Manhattan.
It's perfect.
That's the Piper Jerry O'Sullivan in a medley of the chorus reel in Ashmolean House. What about for you, Joel? What was a suggestion that caught your eye or ear?
We got an email from our listener, Carol, in Washington Heights, and she called up with a fully formed running mix that is 11 songs long. It's like at least, I think, 45 minutes long, so it's
wow,
a decent length. And it is also an incredible mixtape on its own. Whether you can run to the music that she has on it or not, I think is debatable. But this is a mixtape that is suitable for just about any activity, from running to, like, I think, cleaning the house, hanging out with friends, entertaining. It is a really great collection of classic soul, jazz, and funk from the 1970s. So here's just a sample of what's on it.
Wow,
Wow, Joel Carroll from Washington Heights is going to have you sambaing down the streets of Manhattan.
Yeah, whether it's good for running or not, I'm not sure. But those are just four selections. So that we heard Lolita Holloway's Runaway, Roy Ayers' Running Away, suitable songs, but also Sergio Mendez's The Real Thing and Stevie Wonder's Bird of Beauty.
Yeah.
There's more than that on there. It's a really, really great mix. I liked it so much, I made my own rogue mix and published it to our Spotify account. So you can just go find Carroll's mix on our Spotify account.
All right. Once again, Katie and Joel are running the half marathon here in New York on Sunday. We've been asking for your suggestions for their running mixtape. And, you know, people seem to feel pretty strongly about their suggestions. Sometimes, though, in a kind of guilty pleasure way,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of, well, you know, you're wearing your headphones, so other people don't really know what you're listening to. So it does seem like there's definitely a thread of guilty pleasures running through these suggestions. Here are two people who are sort of embarrassed. Jamie wrote on Facebook, "This is so embarrassing, but Phil Collins' Don't Lose My Number is the best running song ever. I stand by this choice." And Sarah from Brooklyn wrote, "As much as I hate to admit it, Animals by Nickelback gets my feet moving pretty swiftly. I'll blame Spotify for getting me hooked on that one."
Nickelback and Phil Collins, you got to hand it to them. It's got the right beat.
They're both the same exact tempo almost.
So are they both now on the Soundcheck Spotify playlist?
They did make it onto the list, yeah.
What about, Joel, anything that didn't make it onto the playlist?
Okay, here's what our listener Alana posted. "I love when Jeff Buckley's version of Hallelujah comes on, especially towards the end of my playlist. Something about it resets my spirits." And hey, you know, people run to different things. I just want to tell you, Soundcheck listeners, Katie killed this one. This one did not appear on the playlist.
Alana, I totally respect your choice of music. It's a great song, but it is in 6/8. And that is like a waltz.
So
that would mess me up.
We did have to make a few editorial decisions here and there that we thought were for people's personal safety.
Well, I heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing Hallelujah.
Jeff Buckley's version of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. It's a great version of a great song, but neither Katie nor Joel will be running to that during Sunday's half marathon. So what else didn't make the cut?
You know, there were a lot of suggestions that had to do with Kate Bush songs.
Really?
A lot of Kate Bush fans
Well,
out
running
there.
Up that hill, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, yeah. Emily on Facebook wrote, "Kate Bush's This Woman's Work, I like to cry when I run."
I don't like to cry when I run, but I do.
When I cry when I run, it's usually not because of the music I'm listening to. So this song did not make the playlist.
God, you can cool. I stand outside this woman's work, this woman's world.
The English art rocker Kate Bush and This Woman's Work, also not appearing on the Soundcheck running playlist. So it's on the website now.
Up on soundcheck.org right now.
All right, guys. Good luck on Sunday.
Thanks, John.
So Katie and Joel are running in the half marathon on Sunday. And, you know, for many of us, music can be like a performance-enhancing drug. And in a moment, we'll find out why music actually can improve your workout, your running time, whatever. We'll also find out the ideal tempo for workout music. But first, it's South by Southwest week in Austin, Texas, and if you can't be there, don't worry. We've posted a list of things you can do this weekend here in New York City. Find it at soundcheck.org. But we also want to give you an idea of what's been going on during this annual musical bonanza down south. So we've been trolling through Austin's Craigslist site for missed connections. You know, those online classifieds for people who should have asked for a phone number but didn't. This week we've been asking our producers to voice dramatic recreations of these shot-in-the-dark attempts at retroactively hooking up at this year's South by Southwest.
To the girl at the Snoop Dogg concert at Emo's. I started joking around with you about the e-cigarette girl that was handing out free samples. I thought you were pretty, had a good sense of humor. Don't know why I didn't hang out and talk more. Later, my friend said, those girls were totally into you. I can never tell. Well, here's hoping you actually read this. Let's go out sometime. Emoticon smiley face.
Okay, so you and your boss were sitting by my friends and me, and everyone was drinking free beer and eating free pizza. Yay, South by swag. Anyways, after your boss left, you said that I had the most beautiful and infectious smile you'd ever seen. And then we discussed our love of Austin, Portland, and Seattle. I wish I'd given you my phone number before I left. You have an amazing smile and a majestic beard. I want to get to know you better.
To the tall, sexy brunette from Fort Worth at Snoop Dogg at Emo's. We talked, your big pretty eyes were on my level with your wedges on. You went to the dentist today, you're in grad school, and you're absolutely amazingly gorgeous. I was frustrated with how rude your friends were to my friend, but I should still have gotten your number. I walked away and then even went back to find you, but nope, gone. Ah! You seem like such a great young woman, and I'd like to get to know you more. Please put your high school in the subject line so I know you're real.
Just a few selections from the Austin Craigslist site during the South by Southwest Festival, all real, and there's more coming up later in the show. But up next, club DJs know the term BPM. It measures a given song's beats per minute. A sports psychologist will give us the ideal BPM for your workout mix. And then later, the disco band Escort gives our studio a workout. All of that coming up on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. All this week, we've been asking you to help us crowdsource a running playlist for two of our producers to listen to as they run the New York City Half Marathon on Sunday. We've compiled your songs and shared the playlist with you so you can use it for your next run or next workout. It's on our website, soundcheck.org. Now, there are people out there who would rather listen to podcasts or even silence when they exercise, but for many of us, music is an important motivator, kind of like a legal performance-enhancing drug. Back in 2012, I spoke with Kostas Karagiorgis, a sports psychologist at Brunel University in London, and I asked him, when people listen to music, what does it do for them, or even to them?
Well, some of the main effects that music has is that it helps one to dissociate or not to tune into fatigue-related symptoms like the beating heart and increasing breath rate. So it makes the workout feel a lot easier. It can also have a stimulative effect. It arouses you, and we can lock into its rhythmical qualities for a synchronous effect that gives us greater staying power.
So do you want, ideally, to have a playlist for a workout that sort of ramps you up and then keeps you up and then lets you down?
I think the key is that the workout music contours expected heart rate. So as you warm up, you're working out to some slower tempi, and then once you get into the meat of the workout, then you really crank up the volume, the intensity, the tempo. And as you warm down, the tempo declines again in accordance with your working heart rate. So I think that the contouring is important, but it's also important to have music that stems from your listening preferences and is representative of your cultural background. So when I work with athletes or with exercise participants, I look at their pool of music, their playlist, very, very carefully, and then try to identify key tracks that are likely to motivate them.
Okay, now, in putting together a sort of sample playlist, you chose the Vangelis soundtrack from the film Chariots of Fire as a, what would you call this, kind of a pre-task, a kind of a warm-up piece?
Yeah, that would be a primer. That would be a way of getting you thinking about exercise to stimulate you, to motivate you. And the whole power behind that track, of course, is the fact that it's associated with the film.
Mm-hmm.
We're classically conditioned to respond to it favorably through the Herculean feats of the actors on the film by the same name. So that's a great one as a precursor to exercise, I think.
A little bit of Vangelis' soundtrack to the film Chariots of Fire. Some of Vangelis' soundtrack to the film Chariots of Fire. We're speaking with Kostas Karageorgis. He's author of the book Inside Sports Psychology and is a sports psychologist at Brunel University in London. And Kostas, you already said that it's important to pick music that's culturally appropriate. For this piece, do we sort of need to know what the film is about to get whatever the message of, you know, kind of getting ready for the big run or the big workout is?
Well, that piece is neither fast nor percussive, and it stimulates by association. So I guess if you don't know the film, it's not going to have the desired effect.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of putting a playlist together, do you go for music that's familiar, or is it better to have something that maybe catches your ear if you're looking for that distracting effect that you mentioned before?
I think a combination of both, John. It's certainly the case that with exercise music, familiarity can breed contempt. And I often advise people to churn their music and to update it fairly regularly in order that its motivational influence is maximized. So a combination of much-loved pieces with some newer pieces and a churn over time so that you're not listening to the same tracks over and over again, because that can easily add to the monotony of a workout rather than alleviate it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talk in your book about various athletes. Some of them, I guess, are under pseudonyms. Do people really kind of protect their playlists when they reach a certain athletic level?
There are instances of athletes who protect their playlists, but there are others who make them public. If we take people like Michael Phelps, who was a USA swimmer,
mm-hmm.
One of the main themes in blogs around the Beijing Olympics was what he was playing on his iPod. And Phelps had a distinctly rap-centric playlist. I recall in particular he was listening to a track by the American gangster rapper Lil Wayne with the title I'm Me.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lyric that goes something like, "Yes, I am the best, and no, I ain't positive, I'm definite. I know the game like I'm reffing it." So we can see that music can provide a powerful affirmation that might help athletes' endeavors.
What about, you know, there's a runner, a champion runner, who likes to hear Beat It from Michael Jackson. This is kind of walking that line you were just talking about, where for many of us, the song is thrice familiar, and really you might have problems getting sort of motivated by it.
Well, I think the case with this particular runner was that they were using the track synchronously. They were synchronizing their stride rate to it. It has quite an up-tempo. But also the lyric is very powerful. Just beat it. No one wants to be defeated. And that can really resonate with an athlete.
All right, so a couple of things happening here. You've got the content of the lyrics, but then, as Costas mentioned, there's the beat itself. Beat It from Michael Jackson. And this, Costas Karageorgis is with us on the line from London. He's author of the book Inside Sports Psychology. We're talking about music and your workout and how to get the most out of it. And Costas, with Beat It, we get into the whole kind of arcane field of synchronizing beats in music to the rhythm of your workout. First of all, what's the beats per minute for a song like Beat It?
It's around 142 beats per minute.
And what's ideal?
It's quite up. Well, this is a question that we've been addressing over the last 5 or 6 years. When the music is playing in the background, the optimal tempo range is from about 125 beats per minute to 140 beats per minute. But when you're using the music synchronously, in these instances, we generally film athletes working out at different intensities and then find music that either gives them a little push or sits with their desired intensity in order to optimize their workout. So there's quite a science to using synchronous music. It's not so straightforward. Hmm. But what we found is that when you synchronize your workout to the music, it can result in greater energy efficiency and even the use of less oxygen while working out. A 6 or 7% gain we found in our most recent research. So that's not to be sniffed at.
Yeah. And what are you synchronizing to? Are we talking about heart rate? Are we talking about, if you're a runner, the pace, you know, the ratio at which your feet are hitting the ground?
Well, when we talk about using synchronous music, it's generally synchronizing work rate rather than heart rate. If the music is playing in the background, then it's the relationship between heart rate and the music tempo that's important. In that instance, as I said, a range of about 125 to 140 beats per minute appears to be optimal mm-hmm. in terms of maximizing the motivational outcomes associated with music across a very wide range of exercise intensities. So it's not necessarily the case that the harder you work out, the faster the tempo should be. Our research doesn't show that at all.
Now, you're at the Brunel University in London. Explain what the Brunel Music Rating Inventory is.
Well, John, some years ago when I started working in this field, it was plagued by a rather atheoretical approach, and we didn't have standardized ways of rating the motivational qualities of music. So over a number of years, I developed this method for assessing the motivational qualities of music. It was originally published in 1999, the Brunel Music Rating Inventory, and then I upgraded it. Having used it for a number of years and realized some of its limitations, I upgraded it in 2006. So the Brunel Music Rating Inventory is a standardized way that allows people to assess the motivational qualities of music and to coordinate music with their workouts. It's actually available in Chapter 8 of my new book, Inside Sports mm-hmm. Psychology.
And I guess the key follow-up question then is, how individualized? I mean, will the music rating inventory work you know, across people of different backgrounds, of different sort of exercise abilities and stuff? Or, you know, how personalized does this need to be to really work for you?
Well, that's the whole point. You see, you can rate a pool of music for yourself, or let's say you're a coach or a team manager, you can get a group of athletes to rate a pool of music and then establish which particular selections are likely to be most effective for them.
Mm.
In the experimental work that we've done, we generally get a subgroup of a population, and they rate for the experimental participants, because if experimental participants rate for themselves, then you get what's called an experimenter effect, wherein they behave as they think you want them to. So that invalidates the research. So what we do in research and what we do in practice are two slightly different things.
Okay. You talked about the churn. You need to turn over your playlist, keep it fresh so you don't get
Absolutely.
Too familiar. LMFAO. Is this something that is appearing on your performance playlist, on more performance-enhancing playlists lately?
I would highly recommend it for a Western audience who is wanting to select music for exercise.
Yeah, this is how I roll. Animal print pants out of control. It's Red Food with the big ass bro. And like Bruce Lee, I got the clout. Yeah. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. I work out. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. I work out when I walk in the spot. Yeah, this is what I see. Everybody stops and is staring at me. I got passion in my pants and I ain't afraid to show it, show it, show it, show it. I'm sexy and I know it. Trying to tan my cheeks. This is how I roll. Come on, ladies, it's time to go. We headed to the bar, baby. Don't be nervous. No shoes, no shirt, and I still get service. Watch.
LMFAO, sexy and I know it. And at 130 beats per minute, Costas, this is a good piece to be working out to for at least a little while, right?
Absolutely. Once you get into the meat of your workout, that's exactly the sort of piece that you should be using.
Now, is there a time in your workout when you shouldn't be listening to music?
That's an interesting question, John, and has been the topic of very recent research we've been doing. I would suggest that when you're working out at a very high intensity, maybe beyond 80-85% of your max, then music either has a negligible effect on how you feel or can be an unwanted distraction.
Mm.
Particularly for the elite who have a tendency to focus inwardly, I would suggest that music might be an unwanted distraction at those very high intensities. And as I say, this is the topic of recent research. I suspect beyond about 90% of max, music is fairly inconsequential in terms of how you feel.
We're speaking with Dr. Costas Karageorgis, sports psychologist at Brunel University in London. In terms of music as performing enhancing, Costas, you've said that some athletes consider music to be like a legal drug with no unwanted sound effects. Is it really that powerful?
It absolutely is. We have conducted fairly extensive research looking at the ergogenic or work-enhancing effects of music. And our research would suggest that music can increase endurance by up to 10% when one is synchronizing their movements to it. So it has the ability, if well selected, to enhance endurance. But I think that it's Joe and Josephine Public who stand to gain the most rather than elite athletes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the recreational participants who have the most to gain.
What do you make of the 2007 ban of music at the New York Marathon, which, you know, caused a huge uproar among, as you just said, the rank and file runners as opposed to the elite ones?
Yes, that did cause a furore, and in fact, my phone did not stop ringing for about 2 weeks. I think that The music was banned on safety grounds. Music can be so intoxicating. Runners become lost in it. They miss important instructions from race marshals. They don't pay attention to directions. They bump into each other. So I think the whole ban was really to prevent people from having accidents rather than from preventing them from reaping the ergogenic effects of music.
Okay. Let's take some calls and see what some of our Soundcheck listeners have been up to in the gym and running on the roads. Gregory is with us from Bernardsville. Gregory, what's your workout soundtrack?
I'm 48 years old, and my workout soundtrack is Britney Spears and Rihanna and Kesha.
Uh-huh. Now, would you normally be listening to those, to that type of music?
No, I listen to Peggy Lee all day long.
Uh-huh.
So that really motivated me. I lost 90 pounds, and it really is the music that really got me going at the gym, especially on the days when I had dragged myself out of bed. And getting on the Stairmaster and hearing Rihanna sing S&M, it's very funny. And sometimes when I hear the lyrics, I start laughing to myself, but the beat really keeps me going.
Mm-hmm. So Peggy Lee for home, but when you're at the gym, it's Rihanna or someone like this, Britney Spears, that does it for Gregory. Gregory in Bernardsville just lost another pound. That was Toxic from Britney Spears. Interesting, Costas, what Gregory was saying, that he listens to one kind of music when left to his own devices, but for the purposes of a workout, finds himself listening to a completely different style of music. Does that strike you as odd?
Not at all. It just goes to show what a functional role music plays in the context of exercise. And although we might have one musical predilection for general listening, in his case it's Peggy Lee, in the exercise context, we need music that is stimulating and arousing and matches the sort of psychological state that we want to attain. So Rihanna and Britney, and in particular their more up-tempo hits, would be ideal for him.
All right, let's see what some of our listeners are leaving on the comments page on our website. That means a trip into the control room and Joel Meyer.
John, two quick comments here. Ron from Williamsburg posted this. I love working out to overkill. Lifting weights and metal go well. Metal motivates. Also, Chris from Montclair, New Jersey writes this. I listen to podcasts of public radio programs like The Brian Lehrer Show, Leonard Lopate Show, and This American Life when I run and lift weights, though Eminem's Lose Yourself got me through my training for the bar exam.
So what about that? If we're talking about sound that distracts you, Costas, here's a listener who's tuning into podcasts of talk radio.
Well, pod radio, TV can also have a distracting effect, and this can reduce your perception of effort by about 10% while you're working out. But what it often doesn't do is have the same motivational effect that a well-selected piece of music has. Mm. Interestingly, your listener said that metal motivates. There's a difference between men and women in terms of preferences for workout music, and men tend to express a preference for metal and rock selections, whereas women generally tend to go more for pop selections in the exercise context. So that was quite interesting. The thing about Eminem and Lose Yourself, Lose Yourself induces this state of flow, this optimal psychological experience. It's used by a lot of athletes and a lot of teams that I have worked with. And I can understand where you're, when you're dealing with preparation for tough exams, it can help you just to get it immersed in the process and to give the very best of yourself.
Well, Costas, it's interesting that you sort of focused on that song, which our listener mentioned, because another listener, Maria, calling in from Pelham, New York, likes that same song. Maria, what is it about Eminem's music that gets you going for your workout?
Well, I have to confess, I am a transplanted Detroiter. So it's Eminem's I Love Detroit. But you know what? It gets me going. It's that first song on my playlist, and it just gets me in the right frame of mind for getting pumped up to go to the next level. So that's what I like about Lose It.
Lose Yourself is the song.
Right.
This is three people in a row talking about the song. Let's hear a little bit of it from Detroit's own Eminem.
He won't have it, he knows. His whole back's at these ropes. It don't matter, he's dope. He knows that, but he's pro. He's so stagnant, he knows. When he goes back to this mobile home, that's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old rhapsody better go capture this moment and hope it don't do it. Lose yourself in the music, the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot. It's your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better lose yourself in the music. The moment you own it, you better never let it go. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better. The soul's escaping through this hole that is gaping. This world is.
Lose Yourself from Eminem, and as Costa Karageorgis was just telling us, the author of the book Inside Sports Psychology, there's often a difference between genders in terms of what people pick for their playlists, but we had both male and female listeners sort of responding to that same song from Eminem. Here's listener Sasha from New York writing on our webpage, "I love working out to soca, the Caribbean style related to calypso, especially Machel Montano, when I am on the treadmill. The music is fast-paced, so it keeps me pumped up throughout my workout." I think I'd have a heart attack and die if I tried to work out to that. What would you say that is, Costas?
Right at the top end in terms of tempo, John.
That sounds like, you know, 250 beats per minute or something.
About 145.
145. So that is at the upper end of that threshold that you were talking about before.
Absolutely.
Machel Montano, right at the top end. And Advantage is the name of the song. Do you want to do with your playlist what you do with your workout, which is, you know, you hope over time your workout will get a little more intense, you'll add some weight, you'll add some distance. Do you want to get to the point where you can work out comfortably or effectively to something at 145 beats per minute like that?
Not necessarily. In fact, our research shows that when you become fitter and you're working at a higher intensity, in order for your body to reach some sort of equilibrium, in order for your arousal levels to come down, you want slightly slower music. Mm. If you're using the music synchronously, then yes, of course, you'll need higher and higher tempi to go harder and harder. If it's playing in the background, the key points, it's not necessarily the case that it should get faster and faster. And this is a clear message that's coming out of our latest research.
So the research continues at the Brunel University in London, where Costas Karageorgis is sports psychologist, and he is also co-author of the book Inside Sports Psychology. We've been talking about music and exercise and what it takes to build a good performance-enhancing playlist. And again, just to kind of sum up, Costas, you suggest a mix of the familiar and the less familiar, but the important thing, keep that playlist turning over, keep it fresh. Just as you would with your workout. Yes? No?
Yes, I'm still here.
Sorry to put words in your mouth, but I just...
Absolutely. The music should stem from your social-cultural background. It should reflect to a degree your listening preferences. Try to hit that sweet spot in terms of tempo between about 125 to 140 beats per minute. Go for happy harmonies, so mm-hmm. not minor harmonies, not dowdy tracks, but more uplifting tracks in the exercise context, and motivational lyrics.
Yeah. Lady Gaga and her song The Edge of Glory, which clocks in at about 120 beats per minute. That's on the lower end of that sweet spot between 125 and 140 beats per minute for workout music. As mentioned by my guest, Kostas Karagiorgis, sports psychologist at Brunel University in London and co-author of the book Inside Sports Psychology. This interview originally aired back in January of 2012. So, we've heard music that gets you moving at the gym or on the sidewalk or the running trail. In a moment, some music that will get you moving on the dance floor. Although you could probably work out to the band Escort, we'll hear an in-studio performance from the modern New York disco crew. But first, more missed connections from South by Southwest, handpicked by our producers from the Austin edition of Craigslist.
I came to South by Southwest to see you. Somehow I fell for you while we worked together. It's totally wrong, as you're taken, and so am I. In another life, I would never let you go. I don't know what I hope for by coming here, just to see you once more, I suppose.
You look like Nicolas Cage, age 23. Saw you in a red leather jacket walking down Congress during South by Southwest. You look just like my favorite actor. Maybe we can get dinner and I can raise your Arizona sometime? Hope you see this before you leave town.
Age, 29. Body, skinny. Job, bank teller at Capital One. Ooh, today, you are wearing a pink dress. I've always wanted to ask you out, but I don't want to step on anyone's toes at work. If you know who I am, you'll know how much I deposited today. You commented on my account size. Shoot me an email and let's do South by Southwest tonight.
Yeah, you know, nothing gets to a guy more than somebody commenting on the size of his account. Those are just a few of the missed connections during South by Southwest. Was anybody actually going to shows down in Austin this week? We found these on the Craigslist site for Austin, Texas, during South by Southwest. Up next, the contemporary disco band Escort performs in our studio. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. In the background, you're hearing a song called Starlight. It's not some deep cut from the 70s or a long-lost track by Chic. It's the very modern disco fever of the Brooklyn band Escort. The band has as many as 17 members on stage at any given time, but today they've brought the stripped-down version of their setup. Last headcount that I took in was somewhere around 10 of them. Here is Escort with a live performance of a song called A Bright New Life on Soundcheck. Once again, the band is Escort, and they're playing live for us here in the Soundcheck studio. That song called A Bright New Life. Adeline Michelle, lead vocals, backing vocals from Angelica Allen and Melissa. Ben Herson's behind the drum kit, Jay Kriv playing the bass, T-War playing guitar and percussion, James Hirschfeld on trombone, Nathan Warner on trumpet, but wait, there's more. Dan Bayless on guitar, joining me at the microphone. Hi, Dan.
Hello.
And Eugene Cho, who played keyboards and cowbell.
Yes.
Dare I say it? More cowbell? Make a cowbell.
Can't have enough.
So, guys, first of all, thank you for being here. You guys are all from a very post-disco generation. You didn't live through this.
Right.
Why is it having such a moment now, all of a sudden, do you think?
I think DJs started coming back to it. I mean, house music came from disco. Almost all modern dance music has its roots in disco.
Mm-hmm.
And as, you know, people started going back to see, oh, what were they sampling for this house record? And then disco started becoming popular again in the clubs. So that's where Dan and I really started discovering it again, going to nightclubs, and they were playing all these old tracks eventually without the house tracks, just playing these disco tracks.
Mm-hmm. So it's basically a result of crate digging. People would
To some extent. But disco records have always been part of the vocabulary of New York club life. Even the most modern DJs are always there's a certain, I don't know, canon of records that always filter into the sets.
And a lot of those records, Dan, were very much studio creations. Would you say that your album, Escort, which has been 5 years in the making, is that also very much a studio creation?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think for the live component, which is now its own thing, and we love it. It very much grew out of what was initially a studio project, and which is really true to the roots of the records we were referencing when we started making
What were those records? What were you guys? What was on heavy rotation in the making of Escort?
A lot of Gino Socchio and Giorgio Moroder productions. Love all the August Darnell productions, all the Kid Creole and the Coconuts. That stuff is near and dear to our hearts.
Okay. Adeline, you're near a microphone, so let me ask you a question. There were, during the disco years, sort of bigger bands, too.
Mm-hmm.
There was like Dr. Buzzard's original Savannah band and stuff like that. Were you guys, trying to emulate sort of the bigger sound, the bigger end of the disco sound?
Definitely, yeah. Especially when we have 17 people on stage, we're trying to make it as big as possible.
Right. And one of the, disco was a very, a lot of people loved it and a lot of people loved to hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that people who disliked disco said was, it's like mechanical, it just sounds like it was made in a studio. When there's 17 people live on stage making this happen, how do you do that and not have an absolute train wreck, especially when you're packed onto a tiny stage clubs?
We make it work. We have professional musicians, very talented musicians, and we just make it work, and we love the music, so it just happens magically.
And it's not just the band. I mean, there's the harmonies, the vocal harmonies. Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier about the Bee Gees and how the vocal harmonies were such an important part of their sound.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that are you taking in this band?
It's definitely a big, big part for us. We have separate vocal rehearsals just to make sure that for the shows, the all four vocalists are always tight, and you can hear it on the LP. We have a lot of backgrounds, so it is a major part for us.
The 10 members of Escort who are here with us packed into our soundcheck studio are going to play another song for us, Love in Indigo. Once again, this is Escort, live on Soundcheck.
Warms your in my arms.
your style now I'm incomplete. No, you fit just right.
That is Escort playing live in the Soundcheck studio. The song's called Love in Indigo, a little contemporary disco music recorded back in 2012. You can find out more about Escort and hear a longer version of this session on our website, soundcheck.org. Coming up on Monday, do you know someone who gets no pleasure from listening to music? We'll be talking next time about a condition called specific musical anhedonia. And we want you to tell us about someone, a loved one, a friend, who doesn't respond to music no matter how hard they try. Leave your story on our voicemail, 866-939-1612. Also on Monday, live music from the New Zealand-born, Brooklyn-based singer-songwriter Liam Finn, who's in residence this month at Union Pool. And New York music impresario Michael Dorff talks about his latest tribute concert at Carnegie Hall, a fundraiser celebrating the music of Paul Simon. That's going to do it for the show today. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.
Once you're in my